Today's scripture reading is Judges 18, verse 1 to 6. The title is Because Israel Had No King in Those Days. Because Israel Had No Kings in Those Days. I like to read Judges 18, verse 1 to 6. In those days, there was no king of Israel, and in those days, the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for themselves to live in. For until that day, an inheritance had not been allotted to them as a possession among the tribe of Israel. So the sons of Dan sent from their family five men out of their whole numbers, the valiant men from Zorah and Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said to them, "Go search the land." And they came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. When they were near the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young man, the Levite, and they turned aside there and said to him, "Who brought you here? And what are you doing in this place? And what do you have here?" And he said to them, "Thus and so has Micah done to me, and he has hired me, and I have become his priest." And they said to him, "Inquire of God, please, that we may know whether our way on which we are going will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. Your way in which you are going has the Lord's approval." This is the word of God. Today's text is from the book of Judges. As I mentioned last time, the time of the Judges was the period from the death of Joshua until the ascension of King Saul, who ruled Israel through the Judges. As you know, when Israel did not have a king, it's not just a reference to the time before they had a monarchy. It's a way of saying that God, our eternal King and King of Kings, was not in the heart of the people of Israel. Without God as a king in their heart, the book of Judges concludes that they would end up doing everything according to their own eyes, opinions, according to their own will, and according to their own thought. You can see the Judges chapter 17, verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And the conclusion of the whole book of Judges is stated in the last verse in Judges chapter 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Therefore, the conclusion of the title of the today text, "There was no king in Israel," is answered by every man did according to his own understanding and the effect and the consequence of following our own ideas, what we need to realize through the book of Judges. Amen. The main body of the book of the Judges, chapters 3 through 16, is a chronicle account centers on the active of the judges in each region of Israel. But chapter 17 through 21 are a stark reminder of the corruption that results from following one's own heart. Today, I wanted to share with you the grace and the lesson that Micah and the priest, the man whose name was later determined to be Jonathan, and the tribe of Dan each did as they saw fit. Micah and had stolen the 1,100 shekels of his mother's money. When the mother realized her money was gone and cursed the person who had stolen it, the thief, her son, afraid after hearing her words, returned the money to his mother. And when she saw that it was her son whom she had cursed and was afraid that her son would be cursed because of the money, she desired to revoke her curse and to sanctify it to God who had brought it back to her. You can find out the Judges, the chapter 17, verse 3. I like to read. He then returned the 1,100 piece of silver to his mother, and his mother said, "I wholly dedicate the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will return them to you." She saw that the best way to honor the Lord was to use the money she had gotten back to make a statue for her son. It is right to thanks, worship, and sanctify God. But even if the object of the worship is right, if the method is wrong, it cannot be true worship. And if the method is wrong, it will lead to corruption and even cursing from God. Micah's mother's action were in violation of the second of the Ten Commandments, which state that God is holy in Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. What she did not know was how much making and worshiping idols that displease God and provokes his wrath. According to the Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 15, cursed is the man who makes an idol or a molten image an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and set it up in secret, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Why did they do something that would be cursed before God? Simply put, because the word of God was not in the heart of the Israelite during the time of the judges. It was a time of spiritual darkness, a time of ignorance of the word of God. Now, Micah was a man of the tribe of Ephraim, and if he went to the Silo, which was within his tribe, there were priests, the descendant of Aaron, who kept the ark of the law of God, and he could approach them and offer an offering of thanksgiving to God. And she made an image of wood and melted silver and put it on his son and gave it to him. And Micah built a shrine, placed the idol that his mother had given him there, and at his own expense made an airport and household god, which he also placed in the shrine and worship. Let's look at the Judges chapter 17, verse 4 to 5. I like to read. So when he returned the silver to his mother took 200 pieces of silver and gave them to the silversmith, who made them into graven image and a molten image, that is idol. And they were in the house of Micah. And Micah had the shrine, and he made the abode and household idols and consecrate one of his son, and he might become his priest. The apple was made by the Gideon out of the gold of the spoil of war, to honor God for the victory over Midian. You can see the Judges chapter 8, verse 27. I like to read, and Gideon made it into an apple to place it in his city, Ophrah, and all Israel prayed hallowed within it there, so that it became a snare to Gideon and his household. That's a problem, right? The ephod is the garment of the high priest. You can see the Exodus chapter 8, verse 6 to 14. The ephod for the high priest was to be a single garment, never to be made for any other purpose. But Gideon made an ephod, and the Israelites served it in the lustfully, and it became a snare to Gideon and to his house. Teraphim was the idol that protected the home that the Rachel had stolen from her father, Reuben, and we know that this is why she has not buried in the Machpelah, but in the Ephrata, on the road to Bethlehem. The Bible testified that Teraphim did not disappear, but was worshipped throughout the day of Judges, and even by day, David's wife is the Michal. You can see the 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 13. What a foolish and crude face. Believe that the God will bless you while you worship an idol, right? It's the kind of witchcraft face that leads to idolatry, that the prioritized receiving blessing from God over knowing God and doing what God wants. This is what happened to the Israelites when they intermarried with the Canaanites and worshipped their God, which led them to forget God and worship Baal, to serve other gods, and to follow their custom, making idol and building shrine to them as the hidden deed. Micah committed an even greater crime. He built a temple for himself and made one of his own sons a priest. You can find out the Judges chapter 17, verse 5. Only the descendant of the Aaron were to be priests, according to the Exodus chapter 29, verse 9. He did not realize that by making himself a priest, he was blaspheming God. He built a shrine, installed the idol, pressed the ephod and the household god, and even appointed a priest, mistakenly believing that all blessing would come to him. Later, when he met a real rabbi and made him his priest, you should take a look at his confession at the Judges chapter 17, verse 13. Then Micah says, "Now I know that the Lord will prosper me, seeing I have a rabbi as priest." If he could only be blessed, he would have done whatever came his way, according to his own opinion of the word and ordinance. Indeed, his lack of knowledge of God was his undoing. So in the Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, through the mouth of the Hosea, God warning to Israelite, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the laws of your God, I also will forget your children." Let's look at the priest that the Micah set up. The priest that the Micah set up was a Levite, originally a Levite who lived in the Bethlehem in the land of the tribe of Judah. Originally, Bethlehem was not part of the 48 the Levitical cities. It is assumed that his parents left their Levitical residence and lived in Bethlehem where they gave birth. When Joshua conquered the land of Canaan and destroyed distribute the land to the 11 tribes. The tribe of Levi was not given any land as an inheritance, but each tribe gave 1/10 of their income to the tribe of Levi in their own territory, so that they could devote themselves to serving God. However, during the time of the judges, many people had turned away from God and live according to their own views. As a result, no one gave a tenth of their income to the Levites, who were responsible for performing God's sacrifice and teaching His word. This made life very difficult for the members of the tribe of Levi. That is why they traveled to the tribe of Ephraim to find a way to live outside of their area, the tribe of Judah. The Levites were not supposed to leave the area assigned to them. However, in order to survive, they abandoned their designated place and acted according to their own judgment. Micah has the formality of the temple with his own son as priest, but he knew that a Levite should be the priest, so he came to his house and made a deal with the Levite. If he would be priest for him, he would pay him 10 pieces of silver a year and serve the ritualistic program. The Levite was satisfied and went to live with Micah and was counted as one of his sons. And Micah set the Levite apart as holy and made him a priest. According to the Judges chapter 17, verse 12, so Micah consecrated the Levite and the young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. When you look at the above verse and you see the words was holy and set apart, there seems to be nothing wrong with it, but it was an abomination in the sight of God. When a priest is to be set up, he is to be anointed by another priest, the father priest. According to the Leviticus chapter 16, verse 32, so the priest who is anointed and ordained to serve as a priest in his father's place shall make atonement. She shall thus put on the linen garment, the holy garment. Micah is not a priest, and he is not the father of a Levi. That would be illegal, right? But by making him a priest, they were rejoicing in their heart that everything was finally complete. The Levite, on the other hand, must have known that all of this was illegal, but he rejoiced. He sold his faith and beliefs in order to make a living, seeing it was a God-given opportunity. Rather, when the tribe of Dan threatened Micah, he would follow the tribe of Dan, whose idols guaranteed him better treatment, and become their priest. I'd like to read the Judges chapter 18, verse 19 to 20. And they said to him, "Be silent, put your hand over your mouth, and come with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for you to be priest to the house of one man, or to be priest to a tribe and a family in Israel?" And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the abode and the household idols and the graven image and went among the people. What is even more remarkable is that although he was a Levite, he was of the house of Gerson, who were not allowed to be priests. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 18, verse 30. And the sons of Dan set up for themselves the graven image and Jonathan. Here you go. There is his name, is Jonathan, the son of Gershon, the son of Manasseh. And he and his sons were priests to the tribe of the Danite until the day of the captivity of the land. Let's look at that. Gershon was the firstborn. Gershon is the firstborn of a Levi, but their assignment in the tabernacle was to be the ones in charge of the tabernacle, the curtain, the covering, the various insignia, and the loaf. The tribe of the priest was the son of Goha, the second son, for only the sons of Aaron could be priests. According to the Joshua chapter 21, verse 20, 21, verse 10, and the Exodus 28, verse 41, clearly talk to us. And there were, for the sons of Aaron, one of the families of the Kohathite, of the sons of Levi, for the lot was theirs first. I'd like to read Exodus 28, verse 41. And you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him, and you shall anoint them, and ordain them, and consecrate them. They may serve me as priest. He was a liberal priest who sought his own gain and not God's will, and he practiced lawlessness as he saw fit in order to make a living. Jonathan, the son of Gershon, was in a word a false priest. What would be God's response to a shrine where the idols were worshipped, where false effort and adulterous teraphim were brought, where a priest was made who could not be priest, and where sacrifice were offered to God in vain? Functionally and hypocritical face. We too should examine ourselves to see if we too are practicing a false face, a face that is misplaced for our own benefit and peace. The spiritually ignorant live by their own standards, by their own opinion, thinking that they are the will of God and they are self-sacrifice, unwilling to listen to the words that lead them to the right path. Finally, the tribe of Dan, in our text, we see that the tribe of Dan did not receive an inheritance. In the Judges chapter 18, verse 4, in those days there was no king of Israel, and in those days the tribe of Danite was seeking an inheritance for themselves to live in, for until that day an inheritance had not been allotted to them as a possession among the tribe of Israel. But I say no. They certainly did receive an inheritance at the time of Joshua when they received their inheritance, according to the Joshua chapter 19, verse 40 to 48, and Joshua chapter 23, verse 5, clearly talk to us. I'd like to read Joshua chapter 23, verse 5, and the Lord your God, he shall thrust them out from before you and drive them from before you. And you shall possess their land just as the Lord your God promised you. Right? But they did not conquer the land by faith, but rather were driven out by the Amorite. Let's look at the Judges chapter 1, verse 34. Then the Amorite forced the sons of Dan into the hill country.
for they did not allow them to come down to the valley. So, and because they were bordered by the Philistines, they were always being invaded, and so they dispersed among the land of the other tribes. They had forsaken their inheritance, the portion that God had given them. This was because they had no confidence in God's covenant, that if they kept His word and served Him alone, He would drive out all their enemies. They felt that they could not fight and win in their own strength. They did not seek to reclaim the land that the God had allotted them, but sent spies to find a place to live elsewhere. They made a decision based on their own opinion, right? In this way, if we are not confident in God's word and the promise He has made to us, we are free to walk away from our respective places at any time. The five spies of the tribe of Dan went out to spy out the land of Ephraim, and when they heard that there was a sanctuary in the house of Micah, they stayed there, and they asked Levi, a false priest, about their futures. The Levi, a false priest, told them it would be well with them, and they, not having spiritual ears and eyes, listened to the false priest. And when they arrived in the land of Lash, they found it quiet and peaceful. And when they saw that there was no one in power, no one would trouble them, they went back and came again with 600 men to take possession of Lash. When they came to Micah's house again and spied it out, they thought that the words of the first priest and being prophesied by God. So they took away the gods and the priest in Micah's house, and they made the first priest a priest of their own tribe. And they fell into extreme adultery, thinking that the idol they were seeing was God. They had not the slightest doubt about the priest's statement that they did not serve God as their master, but Micah as their master, and about their worship of idol, for their minds were close to the knowledge of the true faith and to the right discernment of God's holy will. We find today's text proceed by the introduction of Samson, the Judges 14 through the 16, the prophet of the tribe of Dan. No doubt that night in our text knew and remembered Samson's reputations. Samson's deeds demonstrate that the Philistines were no longer an enemy, and that the tribe of Dan, with all its strength and valor, was unable to withstand the threat of the Amorite and was forced to plan their migration because they had not seen God's covenant illuminated in the eyes of their heart. Consider this. Was not Samson blinded by Delilah from the seeing God's holy will and the covenant? So he divulged God's secret, and his hair turned out, and his two eyes plucked out, and lived in darkness. He repented greatly, and though the two eyes of his body were plucked out, and he couldn't see nothing, yet the eyes of his heart were enlightened, and he saw the promise and the will of God, and the power of God came upon him again, and he destroyed the Philistine. You can find on the Judges chapter 16, verse 28 to 29. However, the tribe of Dan did as they pleased and became the eternal enemies of God. Let's find out the Judges chapter 18, verse 31. So they set up for themselves a micro graven image which he had made all the time that the house of God was at Shiloh. The Israelites end up the shedding each other's blood. Later, Jeroboam and the founder of northern Israel set up a golden calf in Dan. You can see the 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 29, and Dan become a center of idolatries. Michael's idolatries, which began on an individual level, spread to the entire tribe of Dan and became the epicenter of the idolatry of northern Israel. And ultimately, the tribe of Dan was excluded from the God's people because it was not included in the 144,000 who were sealed. When the eyes of your heart are enlightened to see that know what God is doing, you will never be able to do it on your terms. Let's look at the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? After Micah, the Levi, and the tribe of Dan in today's passage had done as they pleased, what was left for them? Nothing. Only chaos, emptiness, and darkness. I bless and pray that all members of the First Church may truly come to know God, learn from Him, and living according to the Father's will, not their own, until the very end. Amen.